We're definitely in some strange times, are we not? Today, we're able to meet today and be in this place of worship. And I know there's some churches across the country that are not able to worship. I told a couple that we would pray for them. They are worshiping, but just different things are happening. So there's a couple in Mississippi that we want to pray for. Victory Baptist and First Baptist of, just drew a blank, Baldwin. And then, so I think Milton is another one out of Florida. And so those are a few churches we want to pray for today. And also down in Fort Knox is a church down there we need to pray for today too. They would have been with us like a week ago here, but they're not able to do that either. So I want to pray for the churches, and I know there's some around here. I know Church of Dan pastors over there, they're not open. And also the churches in California where they just, politics and just keeps clashing all the time. And so they're able to meet but not being able to sing. So it's all kinds of stuff right now. And so I just want to pray for them. Father, Lord, as we have gathered together today to worship, Lord, we know that it is a privilege and it is a blessing, Lord, to be able to worship in this place today, Lord, as we know that we have that freedom today to be able to preach and sing and lift your name up and assemble ourselves together. And we know today that there are some struggles in California with that, Lord, today. And we just pray, Lord, knowing that they're not able to sing. But I know some of them are going to. There's some churches down in Mississippi that need your spirit there with them today, going through some things there. Also with Florida, with Milton, and also with a church down in Radcliffe. Lord, we want to pray, Father, for that church there. And some other churches, Lord, we know that are struggling to get together and whatever things are there. We lift them up to you, that their spirit, that their prayers would be... that their prayer life, oh Lord, just would grow through these things, and their faith would grow through these. And Lord, may we not take for granted what you've given to us, but may we lift up others as we wait for them to align with us and being able to worship on Sundays. Lord, now if we have this time together, may our hearts be open to you. May any evil and darkness and things of that sort, Lord, of the darkness, I just pray, Father, we stand against them in the name of Christ this morning, that we may deliver this message in the way that your spirit would see fit, that we might be encouraged and enlightened by your spirit to be the men and women of God that you called us to be. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I almost feel like we can just pray for this whole service. Because I don't know if you know, some people have always said I speak too much on spiritual warfare, but spiritual warfare is all around us. It is here. You can ignore it, but it's here every Sunday. Somebody brings it in. We're always battling all the time in our community, and we're always battling it there, and it's even here this morning. But we're gonna triumph through, because I know my victory comes through Jesus Christ. I hope that you know that your victory comes through Christ and Christ alone. It's not anything that you've done that makes you special. It's all who he is. Amen. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to pay attention this morning, because I know we're a little lackadaisical, a little slow this morning. I get it. And I also get we're a Baptist church and we still may have people come in. But I want to be an encouragement to you today. Because there is a peace. I can just feel this. There's a peace that's just floating, or even amongst us, just this lackadaisical, just whatever kind of attitude. And we need to work through that. So I'm going to have you, if you have your Bibles, and I pray that, I know some of you have phone apps. That's great. But I'll tell you, I love the Bible in my hand. I know people got the phone apps, and that's great. Hopefully you have a highlighter and you can highlight, because this is one you're going to want to highlight. We're going to be in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, we're going to see a young man who's struggling. We're going to see a young man who's struggling in what he is called to do. He is called to preach and teach the word. He is struggling at this time. Paul is in prison and he is writing this letter. I believe this is probably the last letter that Paul has written. And Timothy is struggling here, and this is a fire to give him a boot and to fire him up and get him fired back up. Because I'm telling you, Satan will steal your joy. And right now, I know some of you, your joy has been stolen. You need to get the joy of the Lord back into you. But also, this is a part here where we see just Paul giving it to him here. He's not chastising him in a way that you would think. He's speaking to him in love, but he's going to speak to him in truth. Okay, he's going to speak to him in truth. This is the message that we need to hear today. With your walk with the Lord, you need to hear this message today because I believe, and this is my personal opinion, so I'm going to put, I believe America's in the mess it is because the church isn't doing what it's supposed to do. It's not the lost people. Lost people live like lost people. But as those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've come in and we aren't doing evangelism anymore. People aren't sharing the gospel. I'm not seeing people doing too much sharing the gospel. We're too busy trying to figure out other things and get on to things in the world. And I'm telling you, there is a part here that that we're seeing that's overlapping. And we're looking into this world, and I'm telling you, it isn't the leaders of the world. It's the believers of the world. And we need to come together as believers. But politics is separating. Choices are separating. And it's dividing. But we need to stick with the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we need to do. Can you imagine you, yourself right now, if you were not saved and you were living that old lifestyle, where you'd be? Don't forget who he is. And America's church has forgotten. And you've heard me say it all the time. Too much business, big money, big positions, and rock star preachers. No room for it. No room for it. And when you put things like that in the front, something has to be moved. And when you do that, and we do that, then we're pushing Jesus out of the center. And we just may be getting what we are asking for. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says this, Paul, an apostle, in verse 1 of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. I love Paul when he continues to say, it's all about Jesus. I'm a part of Jesus. Don't you forget it. He says, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day. I want to tell you what Paul is doing. Paul is a mentor to Timothy. Paul is the mentor to this student who's now doing the work that he's been taught to do. He's been thrown out there. He's doing, and Timothy is serving. But Paul is calling him a brother. He is called a brother in the Lord. He is a beloved brother. They drew close. I'm telling you, look at me right now. I'm telling you right now, we need relationships like this in the church today. It's going to be a hard message. But we need it. We need relationships like this today in the church. But they're very few and hard because we've got all kinds of problems. And listen, I'm going to step on toes, and I don't mean to, but we want to go to anxiety pills for things that we can get fixed with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying people don't need that, but I'm saying we're going to other things instead of Christ. We're taking everything to the world instead of to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be sharing our burdens with one another. And Paul is doing that, and he's saying, this is my beloved son. You're not just a brother. You're like a son to me. So Paul is pouring into him. This is important to Paul. And he's sending this. He said, Timothy, you are like a son to me. I love you. You're like a son to me. You are a son. And I want to remind you this. Yeah, I might be in prison, but my mind is clear. And I have my conscience is pure. My spirit is good. And I want to remind you that I pray for you every day. Every day, in the morning and at night. I pray for you every day, night and morning, morning and night. And I'm telling you, we need to be praying for others. I was just told Thursday that I don't have enough prayer partners. And I said, he asked me how many I have. I come down with them. I don't know. I'm sure there are people that pray for me. I want you to know that I pray for you, and I believe the church here prays for me from time to time. But we get caught up in doing our things. But to make it a personal thing that we do on a regular basis, that I'm going to pray for you, or you're going to pray for someone every day. Paul is saying, I pray for you, Timothy, every morning and every night. I pray for you without ceasing. You're always on my mind, and you're always on my mind, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm telling you, this is a part of relationships that we need in the church today. Well, we're not having them because as soon as church is out, most of you are gone. And then there's the group that sticks back and stays around for another hour almost, but they're the same group that sticks around. You need to mix it up a little bit. You need to be sticking around just a little bit. Find out who else is in the church. If you go home sad, I'm telling you, you need to find someone and ask the Lord to give you someone that you might connect with, so that you can start to develop a relationship. And you can't just stick with your family. You got to move around to other people. You got some things in your life that other people need to hear. It's not all about you. But when it comes together, it's all about all of us. And Paul is saying, "Look, Timothy, I love you, man. I love you. You're like a son to me. I pray for you day and night. I'm just telling you, I'm invested in you." And man, we're invested in everything else but the Lord. We're invested in everything else but other brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, you put your eyes on the world and everything that's going on in it, it will suck you dry. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your walk with the Lord. It'll pull you into directions, and you will get messed up. You will emotionally become shipwrecked, and you eventually will become spiritually shipwrecked. And Paul is telling, he says in this letter, his heart is going out, and he says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you. He wants to see him. He wants to see him bad. He can't go because he knows he's in prison. He can't go. Timothy's got a piece to do, but he says, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. So there's a relationship part there, mindful of your tears. So there's a great relationship with them, but there's also something going on that's not right here. He says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you. What he's saying is this: I know your grandma, I know your mother, and I know you. The same salvation that they have, you have. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that. You need to remember your salvation. I'm going to tell you, you can have all kinds of testimonies. I have all kinds of testimonies. But the testimony that gets me back in order, the testimony that gets me back in my place where I need to be, the one that always gets it, is the one where I got saved. That was the life-changing testimony of every believer. It's when you got saved. And I don't want to hear, oh, I'm just getting lackadaisical, or I'm just getting soft in my walk with the Lord, or I'm just, the music's not inspiring me anymore, the word's not inspiring me. Listen, that's not a church problem, that's a self problem. This is what we've done in America. We've got to a place where we've had to have all light bands. Yes, I'd love to have a light band, never had one. But maybe God's saving us problems. Because I'm telling you, most people that have light bands have problems. Ego problems. Control issues. Maybe there's other things that we don't have that we'd like to have or what have you. Well, we got to stay focused. And Paul is reminding Timothy, listen, remember your salvation. Remember the day of your salvation. And I will tell you this, when we are saved, we should be growing in our walk. We should be stronger every day. So this year, I should be stronger right now in this moment in July, stronger as a believer than I was last year. I should always be growing in my faith. But now he kicks into some high gear stuff. He comes in here in verse 6. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now he comes to this part in the letter where I want to remind you, God called you to preach, son. And you need to preach. And remember, I was there on the laying on my hands. Now, it doesn't mean that Paul was special. What it means is when they got anointed and they did their service piece for Timothy to preach it, Paul is saying, I was there. And I know that God called you. And so what happens is when we start turning away from what God has called us to do, we have a tendency to walk away from that gift that God has given to us. And we are supposed to serve God with the gifts that He's given to us. Half of you don't even know what one of your spiritual gifts are. And you need to know what your spiritual gifts are so you can serve the Lord and to serve Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, that you'll serve Him and you'll have that joy of the Lord. So he's reminding him, you got to stir up the gift. You got to work it. You got to push it. You got to fight. You got to wrestle with it. Christianity is not easy. And when you serve in ministry, it's not easy. You're going to have days that are not so great. You're going to have weeks that are not so good. You're going to have some months that seem kind of spiritually dry. Listen, when it seems dry, it doesn't mean it's time to do new ministries. Oh, I feel like I got to do. No, you stick with what God calls you to do. You keep doing that and you wrestle with it and you wrestle through it and you pray through it and you work it out. Don't keep flipping the record. Don't be flipping to different chapters thinking you're going to find something fresh and new. If God called you to do something, you do that. Now, God can add and He can move and He can adjust. But listen, when you get into that area, well, I'm just not feeling it, those kind of things, we all kind of get there at times. Listen, that's when you got to stir it up. It isn't stirring up everything around you. It's stirring up yourself. Spending time with the Lord. Lord, why do I feel like this? Most of the time, from my experience, the Lord will remind me and stir it up that I might not be as close to Him as maybe I think I am. Maybe I'm becoming the problem. And Paul is saying, listen, you know, I'm going to remind you, you got to stir up that gift. You got to stir it up. You got to stir it up. Stir it up. And then he goes in here. Now we see what some of the problem is. He said, for God did not give us a spirit of fear. I believe Timothy had this spirit of fear. That's what we wouldn't be talking about if it wasn't in here. Persecution is going on. People getting arrested. People's lives are taken. We don't know anything about that here in America. If that was happening, this church would either be very, very small on the next Sunday, or God would touch people and the place would be packed out. He said, for God did not give us a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is not something that God gives us. The spirit of fear is something that comes from the dark side that draws us away. Fear draws us away of godly things, of the calling that God's given to us. So he says, for God did not give you the spirit of fear. Now some of you say, oh, I don't know what that means. Listen, when you go and share the gospel, when you've done that, or you're afraid that you won't share the gospel, if you're not sharing the gospel, most likely you're kind of afraid to share it. Right? Think about it. When someone led you to the Lord, aren't you thankful that they were not in fear? They were not living in fear? But they expanded and was boastful and sharing the gospel? They were bold in sharing it? For God did not give us a spirit of fear. He did not do that. You see, in Timothy, God did not give you the spirit of fear. Come on, man. God did not give you the spirit of fear. You got to move. You got to get up. You got to start moving. Listen, God called you to be a spearhead. You got to get out there. Listen, God's called a lot of you to do things and you're still sitting. Still sitting. Still sitting. Still sitting. Huntington is here to win for Jesus. I'm telling you. Huntington is hard and dark as it can be. Just like a lot of other communities. It is here for the winning. It is here for the winning. It is here for the winning. But we are afraid. We are afraid. We're afraid to talk to our neighbors. We're afraid to talk. We're afraid. We are afraid. We are afraid. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but here's what He's given to us, a power. Power that's beyond ourselves. Power that's out of our hands, that's stronger than we are. It's a power that can do things that we cannot do, that we don't have. But God gives it to us through the Holy Spirit, that there is a power to accomplish those things which we could not do without Him. Also, He says He's also given us the spirit of love, to be able to love those that don't look like us, to be able to love those who don't look like you. People to love, give the spirit of love, I can love people that don't look like me. Because if you're going to do the Lord's business, you're going to need the spiritual power. And you're going to need spiritual love. But also he says, under the sound mind. Now you can think clearly, that you can think spiritually, that you know that you're going to be able to think spiritually through some things, not just as everyone else does through the world, through the flesh. But through spiritual, that you'll have a sound mind. When things are going awry, that you still have a sound mind. So God did not give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind to accomplish the things that God has set forth. Do you think that God wants Huntington to become a true believing Bible city? Yes. We should, yes. Look at me now. But we have almost more people coming from Fort Wayne than we do in Huntington many times. Or outside of Huntington in the smaller areas. Why is that? Why is that? This is a home base. This is a home base. Because I think we have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of fear. That's part of it. So Paul is telling Timothy, listen, man, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. You got to get with it. You got to stir up this thing. You got to get going, but you got to move it because you're the one out there leading, and you got to do it. You got to get this thing going. And then he says, in verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor me his prisoners, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. He says, you're going to have to share in some sufferings. You're going to have to share in some of this. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not putting any churches down, but it may sound like I do, but we have an altar call, and I know a lot of churches that don't have altar calls. And back in the day, maybe they didn't have altar calls. But I'm telling you, if we don't give people an opportunity to respond, then what do? We preach. We put this spiritual food out there for them. And God can do all kinds. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible. God can work even without altar calls. But there's a part there that works. And so I think our churches have got so much to this part. Well, we just don't want to embarrass anybody. What? We just don't want to embarrass anybody, so we don't want people to come. Now, I'm not chastising those people who are putting them down for not having altar calls, but that reasoning I am, we just don't want anybody to feel embarrassed. We don't want anybody to feel ashamed. Well, I want to tell you this. If you knew that you were dying and you were going to hell and you wouldn't want to... I need to get saved. I'm going to run down. I don't care who's looking at me. I just heard that there's a gift called salvation. I want that. I'm going to run. And I don't care what other people are going to say. That's what you did. But somewhere along the line, we dropped that. And we now become almost, we won't admit it, but even when we gather together at a meal, when you're at a Pizza Hut or you're at one of the restaurants here in town or whatever, even at Applebee's, even if you're in the family bar area, whatever, we're supposed to ask God to bless the food. We pray and we ask things. We thank God for what He's given to us in front of us, and we do that as we continue to fellowship and we partake of that meal. We are called to thank God for that food. But many of us don't because we're embarrassed and we're ashamed because we think people are looking. Well, praise God, people be looking. Maybe it might put a punch in somebody else who's a Christian and says, well, they did it. Maybe I can do that. And you also know that I've also done it a lot in a lot of restaurants, and I've noticed this. A lot of waitresses and waiters and waitresses will hang close to hear what you've got to say. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? And you do that. I'm telling you, God is doing more there than you can see. Get to know your waiters and waitresses. Get to know them. But don't be ashamed. He said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. He says, who has saved us? Jesus Christ, the God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Let me tell you about that. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He's reminding him, listen, God's called you. You have a holy calling on you to preach and teach and to do those things God put there in front of you. And not according to our works, but according to what God has in His plan. I'm telling you, your name is mentioned in heaven more than you know. You're a very important person in this world. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are saved, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will inherit, be a part of the family of God. You are that, and one day you'll be home, and you'll be part of that big banquet we talked about last week. But you're a very important person on this earth. God doesn't look on how you look on the outside. He looks inside. He's the best at it. He is the best at it. He sees right through your beauty cream, and he sees right through the wrinkles. He sees the person on the inside. He sees the heart on the inside. And he sees that. And he knows you. And he knows every thought that you have. And even though we're all messed up in some ways, he still works with us. Amen? But he does it according to his own purposes. So some of us need to quit fighting the hand of God and let God move his hands on us, that we become who and what he's created and saved us for. For there's a purpose that you're still here on this earth. And for Timothy, he had a holy calling to preach the word of God. A holy calling. And Paul needed to remind him and give him a swift kick and say, come on, man, stir it up. Come on, don't be ashamed. You got this. Paul couldn't do it, but he could work with him from a distance. He could pray with him without ceasing from a distance. But there's a part. You can have all kinds of people around you, but you have to do the work. You have to do what God's called you to do. But he says in verse 10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Jesus Christ before our... Let me reread that. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. He's reminding him what Christ did. It was Jesus Christ. He says, our Savior. That's why I tongue twisted. Usually you don't see Savior Jesus Christ. But he's reminding him who he is. He's the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's abolished death and brought life. He's reminding him, just like you need it and just like I need to be reminded of what salvation does and what Jesus Christ does and the morality to light through the gospel. It comes by the way of the gospel. The life, the birth, the life, the death, and burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel. All of that on how it flipped the world upside down. To which I appointed a preacher. I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Paul says, and this is me, for I know I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Because if you know anything about Paul, he tried to work with the Jews. They didn't want it. And God had a plan anyway. And that plan was already there before Paul knew about it. But he was a preacher and a teacher and apostle to the Gentiles. That's us. Everybody else wasn't Jew. He knows it. He's reminding him, I know my calling, Timothy. This is who I am. I want to remind you who I am. You too. And then Paul's kind of getting up. He puts this, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Paul's saying, I know, I suffer too, just like you, man. I suffer just like you. Paul could have said, yeah, and I got these chains, and I've been whooped, and I did. But he didn't need to do that. Timothy already knew. He just needed to be reminded. Amen? And today, you need to be reminded. You need to be reminded. And this is what Paul says. He says this. Oh, and he also says, for this reason I'll suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul's in prison because he's not ashamed. Amen? Paul's there because he's not ashamed of the gospel. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, this is just preacher stuff. No, it's not. No, it's not. Everybody needs to stir up their faith. Everybody needs to stir up their faith. Everybody needs to stir up faith. Our faith will be tested from time to time. I say, praise God, Timothy had Paul in his life. I then he goes on. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what he has committed to me until the day. He says, I know whom I have believed. He says, I know who I believe in. I know it's Jesus Christ. I know who saved me. I know who was there during all my times. We have to be reminded. That's why we have these testimonies, that we might relive them in our minds and in our thoughts, that we can be reminded of what God has done with us, because we can't live on that mountaintop every day. You're not going to live on Miracle Mountaintop every day. Most of your days are going to be lived for basic life, but you need to be faithful in those days of basic living. You need to not be ashamed of the gospel, so that when those moments of those valley moments happen, then you're going to be able to come up out of those valleys. And also when you're called to climb these mountains, you're going to be able to work through those. And when you get to the top, you can look how awesome it is. Praise God, because you're not going to be there long, because you're heading down to another valley around the corner. That's what this life is about. And here it is. You got to have valley. When you go in the valley, you need to have Jesus. When you're going on the mountaintop, you need to have Jesus. When you're climbing, you need to have Jesus. When you're descending, you need to have Jesus. You need Jesus every day. And those are your testimonies. I could tell you when I was in the mountaintop what happened. I could tell you when I was in the valley how I worked through it. I could tell you when I was on the climb and I wanted to quit. And I want to tell you what the Lord did for me there. Listen, those testimonies are awesome. And we need to live those out. He says, for I know who I believe in. Paul says, I know who I got. And he's passionate about it. He's not a wimp. He's toughing it up. He's trying to tough up Timothy. I know who I am. And if everybody at work knows you're a believer and they call you some crazy Christian, listen, God sees it and you're blessed for it. Let's start getting tougher in our walk with the Lord. Let's start getting stronger in our walk with the Lord. Let's stir it up. He says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I believe that Jesus is all who he is, and he's going to accomplish all that he says. And I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I'm not going to hell, but I've been promised heaven with the Father. I know I'm going to be sitting at the banquet. I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I know who I am. I also know who I was, but I'm not that person anymore. But I am a person that is saved by Jesus Christ and forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, as though I am buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I know those promises. And I'm going to live those promises every day. And I'm going to have some times where I'm going to struggle. I'm going to have some times where I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I know there's one thing that's true above all my situations. There is God. That he says, I know this. He said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And he is true to that scripture. And I experience that scripture on a regular basis. When you're not with me and I'm struggling, I'm telling you, he's with me. When I can't be with you and nobody else can be with you, I want to tell you, he's with you. God is who he says he is. Quit messing around and quit thinking that he's some far off land in some palace and everything is all just wonderful here and there and it's all going to work out. Let me tell you, you got a battle and you got a war to fight right here. You got battles to fight and it's going to get tough and you're going to lose a few battles. You don't lose the war, but you're going to lose a few battles. You just are. But God uses those battles that you lose to lift up you, to lift up him through you even higher than he does yourself, that his name might be lifted up. And you can share what God is doing in your life that helps others. Listen, the church is too quiet. Because we're not encouraged much anymore. We're not excited about our walk with the Lord anymore. We're not excited about it. And we need to be excited about who we are in Jesus Christ. We need to be excited that we're still saved. We need to be excited that we're able to come to church. We should be excited when we sing. We should be excited as we are believers in Jesus Christ. Part of the family of God. You know, I got a new name. I don't know what it is, but God does. I got a new name. Jimmy done wore out down here. It's all, and that name's going to be forgotten. But I'm going to get a name. It's going to be a heaven name. No sin attached. I'm going to get a new name. How I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Paul says, Timothy, you got to stir it up, man. You got to stir up the gift that God gave you. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. God gave you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You can do this thing. And don't you be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where's the power? It leads men to salvation. I treat you like a son. I pray for you ceasing day and night. I'm invested in you. You and me, we got history. But my time here is not going to be that much longer. And I'm kind of handing the baton off to you, man. Don't you drop it. Don't you drop it. We need to be about the Lord's business, folks. The Lord's business is about saving people, getting saved. These ropes on our pews, I ain't a fan of that. I almost want to take them off. Listen, if you got something to say on Facebook, it ain't nice, don't say it. You hurt your brothers and sisters. People in the church is hiding each other. You're hiding your comments. You know what I say? If you spend 20 minutes on the Facebook, why don't you spend 5 minutes in this for a minute? I'm just saying. Get all caught up in all these political wars, all this stuff. You don't get anywhere, anybody anywhere. It just brings people down. Church splits over it, all kinds of junk. And we got to get it right. The only way to get it right is to get it right with Christ. Is to get it right with Christ. Father, as we come to this place in our moment of our service, Lord,